This is Vectis Radio.
For the people, by the people.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
It's the Hospice Show, and welcome. We've got Marion, we've got Chip, we've got Judith here today, and that was William Bell and Judy Clay with Private Number. Now, I think things have been very, very busy at the hospice in the last week. Chip has sort of stormed the wards, haven't you, and been chatting to everybody.
I've been chatting to the hospice chaplain.
Yeah, and I think we should go straight to the interview with Kelvin. I think for the avoidance of doubt, it's right, Marion, that there are four chaplains. Is that right?
There
at the hospice?
Are four chaplains, yes.
Yeah, of different denominations. I know Kelvin is the C of E chappie. So let's listen to what Kelvin had to say. And I think he's got a special piece of music as well.
Hi, it's me, Chip, here, and I'm with the chaplain of the Earl Mountbatten Hospice. How are you doing?
Hi, Chip. Nice to meet you. Lovely sunny day. We're sat outside here at Earl Mountbatten Hospice, and Chelsea Flower Garden is just around the corner, and it's good. My name's Kelvin Burke, and I'm the chaplain here. I've been chaplain here for about 6 years now, and I love it.
So what's it like doing the services?
Well, the Sunday service that we do is actually at St. Mary's Hospice. I'm the senior chaplain for St. Mary's Hospital as well, and so we have a Sunday service there at 10:30 every Sunday morning, and we bring patients down from the wards. There is a chapel at Earl Mountbatten Hospice, but we don't have a Sunday service here as yet. My involvement here is to go round the different rooms, the ward we call it, and visit the people that are poorly, and also the John Cheverton Centre, and I visit people like Chip, who are sometimes in the art room, sometimes in the cafe, and basically I feel like I'm a pastor here to the people that are in the centre, whether they're in with an illness or whether they're staff. I don't see any difference.
So with the services, do you have any young people come into the services?
Sometimes, yeah, but it's more rare. It depends if someone comes into the centre or into the hospital and they have faith, and then we tell them we have a Sunday service, then we can get them down to the service on a Sunday. There's not as many young people as there would be older, because a lot of older people have got a real tradition of going to Sunday school, or their parents have brought them up in the Christian way, and so yeah, the demographics of the age group that goes is probably older people.
Now I'm a Christian, like you, and I like a lot of Christian music. Do you like Christian music?
Yeah, I've got three daughters who are probably your age. My youngest is 18 and my oldest is 22. So I get a lot of the new Christian music from them, and they go to things like Soul Survivor and Momentum, and so they bring that stuff home to me. But I personally like stuff like Matt Redman, Tim Hughes, and quite modern stuff, I listen to some of the Christian radio stations when I'm driving into work, and I hear the new stuff through them. So yeah, I enjoy Christian music, not necessarily hymns, but I like the traditional hymns too, but I'm quite modern in my the music that I like.
I'm a big fan of LZ7, and LZ7 are just a amazing Christian band, and they make really cool music. Have you heard of LZ7?
No, I haven't, probably to my shame, but what sort of stuff is it? Is it dance, or is it ballads, or what sort of stuff is it?
It's kind of dance music.
Yeah. I've not really, but as I probably have heard some of the stuff as I'm driving into work, because I've come down from into the centre from Ventnor, where I live, so I've got half an hour listening to Christian music on the radio, some of the stuff is dance stuff, but I probably have heard LZM.
Another good band to check out is Capital King, and they've just released a single out at the moment, and it's totally amazing, and it's got some rapping in, and there's a lot of Christian rappers out there. What do you think of the Christian rappers who are doing Christian music?
Well, it's not new, is it really? But whenever I was starting out as a young pastor, I'm older now, but the Worldwide Message Tribe was big in Manchester, and they were still widely acclaimed, and one of their people that formed the Worldwide Message Tribe would have considered me as his own pastor, there was a lot of rapping on their stuff, that was 25 years ago, and you know, it's never lost its power and effectiveness in a song, and a dance song or whatever. Yeah, no, I think it works. I'm not sure you can convey a huge message, because even though there's a lot of words contained in it, I'm not sure the untrained ear is really hearing the message of the rapper, but it's wonderful.
Now, there's a Christian music festival called the Big Church Day Out. Have you been to the Big Church Day Out?
No, but I was at it about 2 years ago, because I dropped my daughters off there, and I went on to have a retreat myself with a community that I wanted to have some quiet with, the Bruderhof House community over in Sussex. So I dropped them off at the Big Church Day Out 2 years ago. So I know about it through my daughters, but I haven't been to it yet.
So what brought you into Christianity?
Well, that takes me right back to when I was younger. I actually became a Christian, a born-again Christian, when I was probably about 10 or 11, when I just felt that through the guidance of my mum and dad, that I had to make a choice for myself, either to choose for Christ or to walk away from it. And I wanted to be part of Christ, and I wanted to invite him into my life. So as a very young boy, I did that, and felt that made a difference. Even as I went through high school and then through university, I had to stick up for it, and a lot of people took the mickey out of me, and as they do, and it sharpened me up. It made me want to defend what I believed, and you know, that's stayed with me throughout my life.
My mate's a Christian, and we are good friends, and we meet up a lot, and we like the same Christian music, and it's good to have a good role model in your life, and someone who you can look up to. And I have a person that I can look up to. His name's Josh, and he's really nice, and I like God, and he's a really cool mate to have, and Jesus is a cool mate to have, and they are really good supporting people. What do you think God is like?
Yeah, I mean, was it Delirious that had that song, What a Friend I Found, Closer Than a Brother, Jesus? You know, so, you know, that song comes to mind when you say that. I relate to that. Jesus as a friend, as a brother, as somebody who I'm in awe of, because, you know, he lived the sinless life. But also, going back to what you said about your friend, what did you say, Josh?
Or, yeah, Josh.
That's something that St. Paul modeled. You know, he took Timothy on as a younger man, as somebody he would mentor, and I think it's good for older Christians to know that we can have that role of being a mentor for younger people. But it's also good to have somebody of your own peer group that you have as a friend, so you can share with the struggles and things that temptations or failures or whatever, things that you can share with somebody of your own age. So it's a balance, both to have a mentor, but also to have a friend, a Christian friend of your own peer group. So I think that's commendable. But Jesus ultimately is the friend that's closer than no other. So
what would you say to people who are finding it hard? What would you say to those people at the time when they are going through difficult things? What would you say to them who just haven't found faith yet? What would you say to them people?
Well, I think it's probably worth saying, Chip, you're interviewing me, and you've got illness yourself, or have had knockbacks and hard times, and you've found faith has helped you. The listener can't see, but I'm sat in a wheelchair. I had a car crash 37 years ago when I broke my back. I'm in a wheelchair because I'm paralyzed since then. And at the time that those things happen, you have a choice. You either say there can't be a God because this has happened to me, or else you turn to God and say, God, I don't know why this is happening to me, but I need you.
Thank you for letting me interview you, Kelvin.
You're very welcome.
So what song would you like me to play for you?
Well, I think after what I've just said, there can only be one song, and that's the Delirious song, What a Friend I've Found, Jesus.
Here's the song, guys.
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666, or add us on Skype. It's Vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. And that, of course, was Tesla Girls. An absolute classic. Now, Tesla Girls was meant to be all about the girls who sort of worked for a Mr. Tesla, who I think made the alternating current happen. Wasn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got Donald Webber with me from Bembridge. And Donald, you were originally an electrical engineer, you were explaining to me a few minutes ago.
Yes, I am ex-army and was trained in radar and was a radar technician in the army.
Yeah.
And then when I left the army, I was doing research and development in radar.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Oh, fantastic. Now, you've had a sort of varied career. You've come to the Isle of Wight, and unfortunately, you've been telling me that your wife Jill passed away earlier this year after having some incredible care at the hospice.
Absolutely, yes.
And you know, luckily she was able to pass away at home. And you have been doing some amazing things, I think, since then, to remember her. One of the first things you told me was that she was a brilliant artist, and in fact you've been showing Judith and me some amazing pastel paintings that she's done.
Sure.
Really beautiful ones, both here on the Isle of Wight and in Australia as well.
Yes.
And the great thing is you've made those available for people to see in the hospice, I understand.
Yep. Jill must have done about 100 or more paintings, most of which have sold. Some sold at exhibitions, some were commissions, but we kept about 18 to 20 of them, I guess.
Yeah.
And they've been up on my wall since Jill died. And then talking to various people in the hospice, I was put in touch with Marion, and Marion suggested that we put the paintings up in the hospice, and they look really, really good.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Are they in the corridor, sort of leading down to the chapel? The chapel.
But no, they're not. That's the art gallery space. So,
right.
So this is actually in the John Cheverton Centre.
Okay.
Where you can come in. They're in a little corridor that's the other side of the cafe.
Fantastic. So you can go and have a look at Jill's beautiful paintings.
Please do.
Enjoy them. Pop into the cafe, have
Please
a coffee, and really use the John Cheverton Centre for what it's meant to be used for the wider community, as well as patients and family and friends.
Yeah, yep. just a reminder, of course, anybody can pop into the John Cheverton Centre and go and see those, and you know, get a coffee while they're there as well.
The whole hospice experience is just such a joyous place.
Yes.
When you first go there, you associate it with its main job.
Yeah.
And your heart is in your mouth, but as soon as you go into the hospice, you're given such a warm welcome.
Yes.
And everybody smiles.
Yes.
That's the thing.
I know, it's a great place. And what's brilliant, Don, is that you are going to be doing some fundraising for the hospice. You've already done Walk the Wight, but tell me about the next stage, because you're going to take this to a whole new level, aren't you?
I hope so, yep. Next year, probably in spring, I hope to do what's called the Camino de Santiago, which is a pilgrim's route to the cathedral in Santiago, which is in northwest Spain. There are various routes, one from France across the Pyrenees and then across the top of Spain to Santiago de Compostela, another route from Seville. I'm doing the one that goes directly north from Portugal, so I'll be starting hopefully at Lisbon, Lisbon, and just steadily going north, around about 10 miles a day.
And do you follow the coast going up?
Or? It's not necessarily following the coast, although some people try and keep as close to the coast as possible.
Yeah.
I have friends who live in Portugal on roughly that route, so I'll deviate slightly to the east to go and see them.
That's fantastic. And you and Jill had very happy memories of Portugal, I think, in the north.
Very. Yep, Jill and I spent a long, many, many years going on holiday to Spain and Portugal, and we'd sort of mix and match. Sometimes we'd go to both places on a holiday, and sometimes just one. But Portugal, especially northern Portugal, holds a lot of really fantastic memories for me.
But you say you haven't been to Santiago de Compostela.
Never.
And you're in for a treat, actually. What is amazing, though, given that it's Spain, is that apparently the rainfall in Santiago de Compostela is three times that in London.
Yep.
So take an umbrella.
Yep.
But actually, what you will find is that the way the city is built is the buildings are arcaded, so that you can walk from one part of the city to the rest of the city without getting wet. So it's very, very clever. You just effectively walk through arcades up to the cathedral and around it. Stunningly beautiful place. And what an amazing cathedral it is. So
I've seen videos and the interior looks really fantastic.
I would recommend that you don't go via Bom Jesus in Portugal, though, on the way, because you've probably seen that. It's I think it was along the route that pilgrims used to have to climb up. It was something like 300 steps on their knees.
On their knees,
as
on
well.
Their knees.
So, if you do go, take some of those sort of gardening things and place them on your knees.
Yep.
Or you know those knee pads that builders wear.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's fantastic that you're doing that. Now, there is a Just Giving page being set up, isn't there, for this?
I hoped that it would be set up by today and that I could give people a link, but no, it won't be set up until tomorrow at the earliest.
Well, don't worry, because what we're going to do is, as soon as you tell us what the Just Giving link is, we're going to pop it on the Vectis Radio website and on the Facebook page, and we'll tweet it too, so people will be able to find out about how to support that wonderful walk that you're doing.
Thank you, and I'd like to stress that all goes entirely to the hospice here on the island.
No, that's fantastic. Thanks, Don. And we've got a piece of music. It's Harry Nilsson and Always. What is the story behind this music?
Jill and I got married in the 1970s, late 70s, and this was a CD, or in those days a disc, a record that we bought and thoroughly enjoyed. It was special to us. The whole of that CD is special to us. And this track, for obvious reasons, when you hear it, means a lot to me now.
Well, thanks very much for choosing that, and it's amazing you're doing this walk. The very best of luck with that. I'm sure we'll talk to you again before you actually do it. It would be great if you could come back to the studio and tell us a little bit more about it before you do it, and then afterwards as well, about what your experience was.
I'd love to. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
That was Passenger and Somebody's Love. It's the Hospice Show. It's James, Judith and Marion here, together with Chip and Don today. And Judith, I think there's going to be a marvellous concert at the Hospice tomorrow night on the 18th of August, is that right?
Yep, that's right, James. Tomorrow evening at 7:30, and it's the next in the series of monthly concerts held every Thursday in the month in the lovely John Cheverton Centre.
Yeah.
Now, tomorrow's concert will be featuring Sarah Walker, who I'm sure is very familiar to a lot of our listeners, as she presents Radio 3's Essential Classics.
Yeah.
She's a very well-known pianist, and she'll be appearing along with her husband. Now, he's quite interesting. His name is Martin Payne, and he has been described to me as the leading jazz vibraphonist and composer.
Oh, yes, because he plays the vibraphone, doesn't he?
He does. And Sarah will be talking about her radio work and playing a few essential classics from the piano repertoire, alongside new pieces composed by her husband, who will in turn present some of his latest evocative soundscapes for vibes and electronics.
What does a vibraphone look like? That's what I want to know. Marianne, what does it look like?
I knew you were going to ask me. I have no idea.
Well, I have got a photo of Martin here, and it looks to me as though a vibraphone is a bit like a xylophone.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a big xylophone to me, a sort of a double-layered xylophone, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know how you kind of have one set of...
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
Yeah. it looks as though you've got two of those. Oh, well, I think the thing to do, really, James, is to go along.
So, get on down to the hospice tomorrow night. And if you miss them, I think they're going to be at Classic
Isle
on the weekend.
They're going to be at Classic Isle on Sunday. But if I were you, I'd try and catch them at the hospice. Because if you go and see them there, you can pop along and see Jill's paintings as well.
Yes, that's a very, very good
idea.
And
the other great thing about the concerts at the hospice is the chef lays on the most marvellous canapes.
Yeah, I
know. And glasses of wine, all exactly. for £10.
And I think Chip's already got to them, though, so there may be a fewer.
did you lose any, Chip? So for a tenner, you can enjoy the concert, find out what a vibraphone is, see Jill's paintings, have a couple of glasses of wine and glass canapes. What's
thrill.
Not to love? If you would like to go, you can book on www.iwhospice.org.
That sounds brilliant. Now, Chip, you have been busy at work, haven't you? You've been talking to Elaine, and I think we've only got time now to listen to that interview. So we better all say goodbye on the Hospice Show this week before Chip launches into his interview with the wonderful worker Elaine at the hospice and a little piece of music that she's chosen for us. I'm going to tell you what it is because it reminds me of an old joke, which was, why has George Michael got chocolate around his mouth? Do you remember that one?
No, come on, tell us. Keep it clean, though.
Because he was careless with his whisper.
Hi, it's me, Chip, here, and I am with Elaine. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you, and it's nice to meet you.
So what do you do at the hospice?
I'm a community support worker, and I go out into the community caring for clients in their own home.
So what does that job involve?
Right, I can do personal care at home if somebody's struggling to do a bath, their own bath, or a shower. We help with showering, and we give respite care for the family and relatives if they want to go out shopping and that. So we sit with the clients as well.
So do you enjoy the job?
Absolutely. It's really, really nice, and we can promote independence within the own home, and our community team are expanding. We were a very small team, and now we're expanding out to take on more clients in their own home, and we do a range of care from end-of-life care right through to, you know, an ordinary sit to help somebody go out shopping, you know, the relatives to go out shopping, everything. It's really, really nice.
So what's the best bit about the job?
The best bit is promoting people's wishes, what they want, how they want to live independently. They live with a condition, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to, suffer in silence. So we're just that support group for everybody. We're there for everybody.
So how long have you been working here?
I've been here 2 years now, and I cover we go into the ward, help the staff out in the ward, and today, as you've seen, I'm in the JCC, the John Shepperton Centre, helping clients there today. Really good.
So how many times a week do you come up for John Shepperton Centre?
I cover when the staff are short down there, or if there's holiday, when there's holiday, so I come up and help out at the holiday. We're all flexible in our jobs, so we tend to see people, and it's nice to see people from their homes coming into the John Shepperton Centre doing the artwork, and do it just reading or just talking to people. It gives them that break, and it's a beautiful day, and they all come out into the garden as well, which is really nice at the moment.
So you really like rabbits?
I am. I'm a rabbit lady. I'm known as a rabbit lady, and I do bring my guinea pigs in as well. I've got guinea pigs, and I rescue them for a charity on the island, and I try and find homes for them. But also, with some of the clients, I've been helping with their needs, with when they've got problems at home, they can't care for their own animals, then my charity that I volunteer for help out as well, and they're very good at doing that. So it just takes the pressure off when people have got pets and they can't care for them properly as well.
That's really nice. So what song would you like me to play for you on the radio?
Well, I'm a bit of a George Michael fan, I am, and I do like Careless Whisper, so if you can do that for us, that'd be very nice.
Okay, here's George Michael, Careless Whisper.
The Earl Mountbatten Hospice Show with James and Judith. Community radio at its best.
www.vectisradio.com.